Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Shmuel Beis, and we're learning Perek Yud Beis, and we're up to Pasuk Tes Vav. So last week we learned through Pasuk Yud Dalet, and essentially the first half of this Perek was all about Nasan, the Navi, giving Musar to David, that David did the wrong thing and David sinned, and he didn't act properly with Uriah and with Bathsheba. And at the end, we learned, At the end, we learned that David admitted. He admitted that he sinned. And we contrasted that. That was in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer David el Nasan, Chatasi LaHashem. I sinned to Hashem. And we contrasted. And the Malbim made this distinction, that this was the main distinction between Shaul and David. That Shaul, after he sinned and was taken to task, Shaul gave excuses and said, well, it was the people, it was for korbanos, you know, all sorts of excuses. And David just said, Chatasi, Chatasi LaHashem, I sinned. Okay. And then in Pasuk Yudalad, we saw at the very end that Nasan said, although you will not die for this sin, however, that the child that's going to be born here from this union between you and Bathsheba will die. Okay, and that's where we left off last week. So now picking up with Pasuk Tesvav. Vayelech Nasan el Beso, and Nasan left and went home. Vayigov Hashem es hayeled, asher yolda eshes Uriah leDavid, vayeon nash. So Nasan goes home. Now, what's the significance of Nasan going home? So says the Radak, Pashup Shad, is that he was upset with David. He was showing his disappointment with David, and that's why kind of almost I don't know if he stormed out, but he didn't stay a minute longer than he had to. He gave David his Musar, and that was it. And then he left. He did not want to show David any extra kavod here. To emphasize his displeasure with how David acted, so that's what it means that he left right away. Hashem vayigof, right? Hashem makes this child ill, some sort of a plague. And interestingly, the pasuk refers to the child as Asher Yolda Eishes Uriah. Right now, why does it call her here Eishes Uriah? So Mefarshim say. The Malbim points this out, that this is the reason why Hashem killed this kid, because it looked like Eishes Uriah. And even though, as we spoke about in the past, David made sure that it wasn't really Eishes Uriah, and she had a get, etc., etc., he had ensured that everything would clear from a halachic perspective, from a halachic standpoint. But nevertheless, the look wasn't good. She still looked like Eishes Uriah. And since she still looked like Eishes Uriah, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to kill this child. And that's what the Malbim says. Aye Anash means, Rashi says, means he got sick. This kid gets sick, deathly ill. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayivakesh David es ha'elokim be'ad hana'ar. So David begs for mercy, davens to Hashem, that this child should live. Vayotzom David tzom, David fasts. Uva v'lon v'shachav arza, and he comes and he goes to sleep, and he sleeps on the ground. Now the Radak says, points out that even though he was told the child's going to die, nevertheless he still fasts, he still davens, right? And as we know, as the Malbim points out, that even if a gzeira has been made already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bad decree. You know, what looks to us as bad, a bad decree, it doesn't matter. You still daven. You still daven because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the gzeira, he can change the decree. And therefore, even though David was already told by the Navi, Kimos Yamus, that this child's going to die, nevertheless, no. Vayivakesh David es ha'elokim. He still davens. He still davens.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Are we saying that if the baby had looked like David, that the baby would have lived?
No, The pasuk does not mean that the baby looked like Uriah. It doesn't say that anywhere. The pasuk just says, the pasuk just refers to Bathsheba as Ashes Uriah, not because of the physical appearance of the baby, just because that, because she delivered this child, you know, soon after Uriah died, it looked like Uriah's baby. Not looked physically. It just seemed like the circumstance made it seem like it was Uriah's baby. That's what the pasuk means. During the day, the Radak points out that he went to the Beis Hashem. He went to the Mishkan. He went to the Ol Moed. He went to Daven. He fasted. He davened. When he came home, he laid down. He did not eat. He still, the Mefarshim say, Velon means Velon Betaniso. He still stayed. He did not break his fast at night. He slept even while fasting. And he slept on the ground, the Malbim says. V'shachav Arzi, he slept on the ground to increase his suffering. Now, it's interesting. The Malbim says that David thought that maybe the gzeira, that the child would die, was for a kapara. Right, this gzeira, that the child would die, this would be a kapara for David because of his chait. That's what David thought was the purpose of the gzeira. So David thought that if that's the purpose of the gzeira, so if I fast and I afflict myself, maybe that will be a kapara. And then the child won't have to die. So it's twofold. It's number one, vayivakesh, that he's just davening. He's davening for mercy. Even though the gzeira was made, he's davening to overturn the gzeira. But then the fasting was also strategic, says the Malbim, because he's trying to fast. Maybe that fasting will affect the kapara. And if the fasting affects the kapara, so then the child won't have to die. The reason why a child's going to die is for a kapara. So if I can get the kapara in another way, by fasting, by afflicting myself, so that'll be good.
What did Bathsheba do wrong? She's going to suffer from this also. Basically, I can understand David, but Bathsheba, she didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, good question. Well, yeah, right.
She did nothing with the horse from her husband. She did nothing wrong.
Okay, so for the remote people, so Aaron's asking a good question that what did Bathsheba do wrong? I mean, this is still her son, and the son is dying. So even though you're quote unquote punishing David, you know, it's a kapara for David because he sinned. But what about Bathsheba? She's also being punished here because her son dies. Now Moshe is saying, okay, but it takes two to tango. So even though David may have initiated, but she didn't refuse, you know, now you could say he was the king. How could she refuse, right? But she's, well, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't think so. Not that I saw. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, the assumption is that any time a woman is pregnant, you know, she's pregnant with this child, so it's part of her. So it's going to be, I mean, that's the basis of your question. So it's going to be a punishment for her if the child dies. I hear you. Okay. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayakumu ziknei veiso alav lahakimo min ha'aretz. So the elders, the zakenim, they tried to get him to get off the ground. You know, David was, he's fasting, he's crying, he's davening. Excuse me, he's sleeping on the ground. So the elders come in and they say, a passage for the king, you know, he's making himself crazy. You know, get up. Velo ava. He didn't want to. David refused. He refused to get up off the ground. Velo vara itam lochem. And he didn't eat with them anything. He didn't eat any bread. The Radak says, velo vara means he didn't even eat a little bit. It was 100% fasting. Pasuk Yudches, vayhi bayom hashvi'i, vayomos hayomer. And it was on the seventh day, and the child dies. Vayiru avdei David, lehagidlo, Kimeis Hayelin. Now David's not with the child. David during the day, he's in the Beis Hashem. He's davening. He's fasting. Right? Now, so what happened? They were afraid. They didn't want to tell David that the child died. Ki amru hinevi yos hayelin chai, dibarnu elov velo shoma bekoleinu. While the kid was alive, we tried to get David to calm down, not to fast so much, not to sleep on the floor. He didn't listen to us. He didn't do anything. How can we tell him the kid died? maybe chas v'shalom, he's going to harm himself. The asara, maybe he's going to harm himself out of grief. That's how the Radak and the Malbim, I think of the Malbim, maybe the Mitzvah Seven, I don't remember. Certainly the Radak says the asara, he's going to harm himself. He's going to harm himself. Now there's a whole question in the Mefarshim. When this Bayom Hashvi, was it the seventh day of the child's life, or was it the seventh day of the child's illness? Right, the child was born first, and then the child became ill. So we don't know exactly how many days the child was alive before becoming ill.
Well, we don't have a name. So maybe it was a boy and it was before the birth, and they didn't name him.
100%. So it could be, and the Mitzvot David says this could be either one. It could be this is the seventh day of the child's life, and the child was killed. He died before his bris milah. He never got a name. Or you could say it's the seventh day of his illness. It might not be the seventh day of his life, but it's the seventh day of his illness. Maybe that's the pshat. Now that's a little difficult. The Malbim doesn't love that. Because seventh day of his illness, so what are you going to tell me? David fasted for 7 days, right? He can't fast for 7 days. And David, it sounds like he's still fasting here.
And we know it's
a yeah. Yeah, correct, right? Right, so it doesn't make sense, says the Malbim, to say it's 7 days into the illness, because then David would still be fasting, and that's crazy. David can't fast for 7 days. So therefore, the Malbim seems to think that it means he wasn't sick for 7 days. This was the seventh day of his life. This was 7 days after he was born. For some of those days, he was sick. You know, we don't know how many exactly. Navi doesn't say exactly how many days. But on the seventh day of his life, after being sick for a day or two, right, the kid was nifter. The kid died. And the Malbim says this is important because we see in the next pasuk or the next couple of pesukim. So let's keep going, and then we'll see why this is important. Pasuk Yutes. Vayar David ki avodov mislach Hashim. David sees that his servants are whispering to each other. And he sees, okay, something's going on. Vayoven David ki meis hayoled. And David understands, why are they whispering to each other? Must be the kid died. They don't want to tell me. Vayomer David al avodov hameis hayoled. So he asks them, did the child die? Vayomer meis. They're not going to lie to him. So they said, yes, the child died. Pasuk Chaf, Vayakom David Mehaaretz, Vayirchatz, Vayosech, Vayichalef Simlosov. David gets up from the ground. He washes himself. He anoints himself. He changes his clothing. Vayavo Veis Hashem. And he goes back to the Beis Hashem. Vayishtochu. And he bows down. He davens. Vayavo el beiso, and he comes home. Vayishal, vayasimu lo lechem, vayochal. And he asks for some food, he asks for some bread. He hasn't eaten in a while, and they bring him bread, and he eats. Now the Mefarshim all discuss here. 1 second. He should be in Avelos. I mean, you can eat if you're in Avelos. But what about all these other things? This is his son who just died, right? Your son dies, you're in Shiva. Right, so now you're in Shiva. Oh, okay, good. So the question is, even you're in Shiva, how do you wash and anoint and change your clothes? What's going on here? Right. So Maish said correctly, and this is what the Radak suggests, that this is why some want to say that the 7 days means the baby was only 7 days old, which means he never made it to 30 days. If the baby doesn't make it to 30 days, he dies within 30 days. So it's a suffek nafel. It might be that this kid was a nafel. What's a nafel? A nafel is a baby that was born with some sort of a defect, right? And he's not going to live 30 days. If a baby was born with a defect, then it's not going to allow him to live 30 days. That baby is never considered to be really alive. I mean, he's alive. You can't chas v'shalom kill the baby, right? But once the baby dies, you don't sit shiva for that baby. The baby never really had a real life, right? The baby was born with a defect that caused him to die very, very early in life. So that's why they suggest that it was 7 days into the baby's life. And that's why he was a suffek nafel. They get into a little bit of the halachic complexity. It's only a suffek nafel if you don't know if the baby was full term. Did David know the baby was full term? Did he not know the baby was full term? Maybe he only slept with Bathsheba once, so he didn't know the baby was full term. A lot of back and forth here in the Mefarshim about some of the halachic complexities. But at the end of the day, that seems to be the approach. Now, again, if you say that it was the seventh day of the baby's illness, he could have been more than 30 days old. Maybe the baby was 40 days old. Who knows?
Rabbi?
So then if, one second. So then if it was only 7 days into the baby's illness, so then you're stuck. Why is he not sitting Shiva if the baby could have been more than 30 days old? Yes, Saul.
Why can't you say that you're right, the baby was more than 30 days, but he's the Melech, and the Melech has certain liberties even during Shiva because of the office.
Very good, very good. So that's another answer. I saw this answer somewhere, but I don't remember where I saw. I don't remember in whose name I saw. I saw it in Rav Aaron Lapiansky's Sefer Yesodei HaNeviim. He quotes this answer from someone. I don't remember who, but he quotes this answer. I think one of the Rishonim, who says that he was the Melech. Right? This was an exception to the rule. Of course you sit Shiva. The baby dies, you sit Shiva. But David was the Melech. And we have certain leniencies for the Melech because he's the Melech Yisrael. There are certain leniencies even in Shiva that the Melech has to be presentable. He has to look a certain way. He has to be clean. So that's another answer. Good. Shlemi, I see that. Shlemi. Okay, good. So another good answer. Another answer that Rav Lapiansky quoted was also that maybe the rechitza and the sicha here was not a rechitza and a sicha of pleasure, of tainug. That's what's awesome. But maybe the rechitza was really just to remove the dirt. Remember, he was sleeping on the floor. They didn't have nice marble floors in those days, right? So maybe he was sleeping on the dirt floor. So he was disgusting. His body was disgusting from all the schmutz and the dirt that he was sleeping in. So maybe the rechitza and the sicha was really just to remove the zuama, to remove the dirt and all the schmutz that he had been sleeping in for the last, or you know, lying in for the last day or two. Maybe that's what the rechitza was, and therefore maybe that's mutter during Shiva. That's another possible answer.
The baby died, and he wasn't repenting to Hashem anymore. The baby died already, so there's no more.
Good. So you're raising a good point, but again, that doesn't answer the Shiva question.
Oh, answers the question.
Yeah. Good. To go to the Beis Hashem, maybe also you have to be presentable. Good, right. Okay. Now before we move on to the next pasuk, which is an interesting conversation between the Avadim and between David, one point that the Mefarshim all make here is that if the pasuk says Vayavo Beis Hashem, right, that he came to the Beis Hashem by Yishtochu. What's he doing here? So the Mefarshim say, as the Gemara tells us, Kishem Shemavarchin ala Tov, Kach Mevarchin ala Ra. Right? That just like we of course, we thank Hashem and we praise Hashem whenever something good happens to us, but we have to be thankful even when bad things happen to us, right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. And what may seem like something bad, you know, right now, in the end of the day, might be good for us. So that's why we say the bracha of die on ha'emes. Somebody dies, we make a bracha. B'shem u'malchus, die on ha'emes. Hashem is the true judge. He knows what he's doing. We don't understand, but we trust you. We trust you, Hashem. So that's what he was going to do, right? In the moment of intense grief, he was going to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Okay. Now, continues the pasuk. The pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomru avodav elav. So his servants turned to him and they say, you know, this is strange. You know, the kid is sick and he's mourning and fasting and everything. And the kid dies and now he cleans himself up and he sits down to have lunch. You know, it's a very strange thing. And so his servants turned to him and they say, Ma davar hazeh asher asisa. What's going on over here? What are you doing? Ba'avur hayeler chai tzamta. Ba'tefk. The king, the kid is alive. You're fasting, you're crying. And now all of a sudden the kid dies. And now you're sitting and you're eating lunch? What's going on? How are you doing this? And the Malbim says a pshat, which I think is so correct and works so well in the pasuk. What they thought that his fasting was out of grief, not as a tefillah to Hashem. They thought he was fasting because of grief that the kid was sick. So now if you're fasting because of grief, when the child dies, there's more grief. So you don't stop fasting. You don't stop crying when the kid dies. You're going to cry more. You're going to fast more when the kid dies because you're doing it out of grief. Why you stop now must be that you wanted the kid to die, as strange as that sounds. But that's what it looks like. The kid is sick. You're fasting. You're crying and everything. The kid dies, and now you sit down to lunch. It's almost like you wanted the kid to die, and then, you know, he died. Okay, good. Now, you know, now I'm sitting down to lunch. Now, what does he say? Says David, of course not. That's not the pshat. That's not why I'm fasting. Vayomer, David answers, when the child was alive, I fasted and cried. Why? I did it as a tefillah, says the Malbim. I'm doing it as a tefillah. I'm doing it as tshuva. Maybe Hashem will be mechaper. Maybe Hashem will accept my tshuva, will accept my tefillah, and the kid will live. I'm not doing it out of grief. You're right. If I'm doing it out of grief, so then I'm more grief-stricken now. Excuse me. The child died. I'm doing it because of tefillah. I'm doing it because I'm davening to Hashem. I'm doing it as tshuva. Oh, the Metzudas David here says a very strange thing. And again, I must not understand what he's saying. He seems to say that what David is saying, miodea v'chanani Hashem, he says a language of that maybe there was no gzeira yet. Maybe there was no gzeira yet, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have healed him. That's what the Metzudas David seems to say. You look at his language. He says maybe there was no gzeira yet, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have healed him. Now this, I don't understand this. It's very strange, because even if there is a gzeira, like the Malbim said earlier, even if there is a gzeira, you dive in and the gzeira can be repealed, right? As we know from the Midrashim, Chazal tell us, right? Shlosh advar mevatlin gzeira ra. Three things are mevatel as gzeira. We say it every Yom Noraim, right? Ma'avirin esro ha'gzeira. What are they? Tefillah, tshuva, and tzedakah. Right? Tefillah, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Ma'avirin esro ha'gzeira. We say it every Yom Noraim. So it sounds like even if there is a gzeira ra, and the Rambam talks about this, that even if there's a gzeira ra, a gzeira latov, Hashem never repeals. Once Hashem makes a gzeira for good, Hashem doesn't repeal that kind of gzeira. But a gzeira lara, right, a gzeira for the, that's not so good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can repeal that. So this Metzudas David, I don't really understand it. It sounds a little bit strange. Okay. Pasuk Chav Gimel. But says David V'atameis, but now the kid died. The Maisa, he died. Lama ze'anitzam. So what's the purpose of me fasting anymore? If the whole purpose of me fasting was to daven that Hashem should save this child, the kid died, there's no more purpose in me fasting. And therefore, ha'ucha lahashivo od, is it possible for me to bring him back? Is it possible for me to bring him back? I can't bring him back. Ani holech elav v'hu lo yashuv elai. Right? As the Metzudas David says, I'm going to go to the grave to greet him before he comes back. Right? He's not coming back, this kid. He's dead. But I'm going to go to the grave first before he comes back. So what's the purpose of me fasting now? Okay. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Vayinochem David es Batsheva Ishto. David comes to be Menachem Batsheva, his wife. Vayavo Eileha. And he comes to her. Vayishkav ima, and he sleeps with her. Vatelet bein, and now she has another child. Obviously, fast forward 9 months, she has another child. Vatikra, now it's interesting, the ksiv here is vayikra, and the kri is vatikra, we'll talk about that. Vatikra is Shemo Shlomo, she calls him Shlomo. Vashem ahevo, and Hashem loves this child. This is, of course, as we know, who's going to be Shlomo HaMelech. Okay? Now, a couple interesting things here. The Mefarshim point out, they actually pointed out on an earlier pasuk, that they learn from this pasuk that an Avel may not sleep with his wife. An Avel may not have marital relations. It's one of the Isurim of Avelus, is Tashmish Amita. And Chazal quote this pasuk that it was only here after the Avelus, Vayinochem David, es Batsheva Ishto, and then Vayavo Eileha Vayishkavi. Only then were they able to have marital relations. Sounds like after the Shiva, after the Avelus. Now, this is a little bit problematic, according to what the Radak said before, that there was no Avelus. That was one of the approaches in the Radak, was that there was no Avelus here because the kid was a Suffolk Nefel. He wasn't a healthy child, and therefore there was no Avelus. So how did Chazal learn from here that an Avel can't have Tash Mishamita? So he says it must be, you have to say that this Pasuk is not the source of the prohibition that an Avel is not allowed to have Tash Mishamita. That they knew from a tradition. They knew already that an Avel was not allowed to have Tash Mishamita. They found a hint to it in this Pasuk. But the Pasuk is not a source. Because really, according to that approach in the Radak, there's no real Avelus here. So you can't prove to me a halacha and Avelus if there is no Avelus here. So really, this was a separate Kabbalah that they had, that an Avel is not allowed to have Tash Mishamita. And now there's a hint to it in this Pasuk. But not that the Pasuk is actually teaching you this. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Also, I think isn't this one with
okay, well, we'll come to that now. Now, before we get there, the Pasuk says also a double language here. Vayavo eleha vayishkav ima. So both of those expressions seem to be expressions of intimacy. Vayavo eleha, right? Having bia, that's an expression of intimacy. Vayishkav ima is also an expression of intimacy. So why is there a double language here, double expression of intimacy? But why does it say twice? You're saying, I mean, obviously obviously it takes two of them to be intimate. So the Radak suggests maybe that there was intimacy twice and she didn't get pregnant from the first time. Maybe she only got pregnant from the last time. That's one approach. And then he quotes a medrash. He quotes a drash, a medrash here, that vayavo eleha does not mean that they were intimate. Vayishgavimah means they were intimate. Vayavo eleha doesn't mean they were intimate. It means that he came to her, but she had a taina against it. She refused to be intimate with him. She refused to sleep with him. Why? Because she said, look what happened the first time. Look what happened the first time. Right? The first time we were intimate together, and now this was a chait. The kid died, right? So I'm not going to sleep with you anymore. I'm not having another child with you. What's going to happen to another child? Another child we have, even if that kid lives, he's going to be mocked. That he's the baby of this sinful relationship. He's the baby of that brother that was killed because of the sin. They're going to mock this kid. I don't want to have that. So David responded to her and he said, no. He said, Hashem forgave us. Hashem forgave me. And the Navi also promised that his next son would rule after David. Right? The Navi promised that. That's clear. We find in Divrei Hayamim, in the Mefarshim quote of Pasuk, in Divrei Hayamim, where it's clear that the Navi promised David that he would have a son after this one, that he would have a son that would rule after him. So David said that that's what it is. Okay, now what's the Vayikra Vatikra? The Ksiv, it's written Vayikra with a Yud, and it's read Vatikra. So the way it's read is Vatikra, that she named him Shlomo. She named him Shlomo. That's the Kri. That all the Mefarshim say that the idea behind the name of Shlomo comes from the word Shalom, that in Shlomo's time there would be peace. There would be peace in Shlomo's time. That's why he was named Shlomo. So again, she called him that. However, the Ksiv, says the Radak, is Vayikra, referring to the Ribono Shalom, referring to Hashem. And the implication in Divrei Hayamim is also that Hashem was really the one who named him Shlomo. And so here the Ksiv implies that really this name was a divine name. She came up with it, but really it was a Kadosh Baruch who gave him the name Shlomo, maybe through the Ruach HaKodesh or whatever that she named him Shlomo, but really it was from Hashem. The name really came directly from Hashem. Now the last word here, the last words, Vashem Ahevo. So Pashup Shad, it's just a statement of fact that Hashem loved this child. Now again, Hashem loving this child, the child didn't do anything yet. The child is a baby. He didn't do anything yet to deserve Hashem's love. But the point is that Hashem found favor with this child. It's not like the previous child. The previous child was the result of a sinful union between David and Bathsheba, and that's why Hashem killed that child. This child was not like that. Uriah's gone, right? Uriah's dead. In fact, the pasuk, I think I skipped over that, but the pasuk earlier refers to her as Ashes David, I think. Where was that? As Bathsheba Ishto. This pasuk, sorry. Chavdal. As Bathsheba Ishto. So the pasuk already refers to Bathsheba as David's wife. So you already see that there was maybe a kapara and things are good, and Hashem was Saleach Umochel David for the chait. Right? You see that already here. So because of that, Hashem Ahivo, Hashem approved. Hashem approved of this union. Hashem approved of Shlomo. Hashem approved. Now it's interesting. The Mitzudas David has an interesting pshat here where he says that Hashem Ahivo was actually his middle name. That Bathsheba gave him two names. Named him Shlomo, Hashem Ahivo. That was also his name. His name was Shlomo, Hashem Ahivo. That was his actual name. So that's a machlokas, and the Mefarshim was Vashem Ahivo his name, an interesting name, or was it just a description that Hashem supported, you know, what you know, who this child was and what he represented.
Rabbi,
Oscar
says that Shlomo was her fourth son.
Her fourth son with David.
Yeah,
interesting. Okay, yeah. Must be in a medrash.
Fourth last son. Of Bathsheba.
Uh-huh. Okay. It could be in Divrei Hayam and mentions the other ones. Here we only have two, you know, that are mentioned right now.
It says it's in Chronicles.
Yeah, that's Divrei Hayam. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, I guess for our purposes, the other two sons, you know, they might be nice guys, but they're not so important for our story. Right. You know, the important sons for our story are the first son that died, and this son who became Shlomo HaMelech. So I guess that's why the other ones are not mentioned. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. Now, the Malbim also has a very interesting shot here. And the Malbim says that he seems to say that that the Vayikra is really David. That David named him Shlomo. Why did David name him Shlomo? Because in Divrei Hayamim, it's clear that Hashem told him that the son that would rule after him would be named Shlomo. Hashem told him that. The son that's going to rule after you will be named Shlomo. So David now has a child with Bathsheba, and he says, I want this child to rule after me. So I want to name him Shlomo, because I know that the one who rules after me is going to be named Shlomo. So that's why David, Dafka, wanted to name him Shlomo. Hashem Ahivo, Hashem agreed. Hashem was masking him. He agreed, and he said, good choice. This is going to be the child that I mentioned to you that's going to rule after you. Okay. Pasuk Chav Hei. Vayishlach biyad nosan anovi. Vayikra eshimo yedidya ba'avur Hashem. So he sent a message to Nosan Anovi telling him what happened, telling him that he had a child and what his name is. And he also called him Yedidya. The Mefarshim seemed to say that that this was David, who the Vayikra here, everyone seems to agree, I think, is David. That David called him Yedidya. That was another name for Shlomo. Ba'avur Hashem, because of Hashem's love. Like the pasuk says at the end of the last pasuk, Hashem Ahivo. So because of Hashem's love, he called him Yedidya, which means Yedid Ka, Yedid of Hashem, the friend of Hashem, the beloved one of Hashem. Pasuk Chavav, Vayilochem Yoav, Berabas B'nei Amon, Vayilko Desir HaMelucha. Now the parak just ends off with some unfinished business with Amon. So Yoav goes and wages war against the Ammonites, against Bnei Amon, and he conquers the Ir HaMelucha. Ir HaMelucha, the Farshim say, was either a city where the king's palace was, or the Malbim says the king's palace was in a fortress outside the city. But either way, this Ir HaMelucha was conquered. Vayishlach Yoav, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Malochim El David, Vayomer Nilchamti B'Rabba, Gam Locharti Es Ir HaMoyim. So David sends messengers to, I'm sorry, Yoav sends messengers to David, and he says, I conquered Rabba. Rabba was another city that was next to, according to some of the Mefarshim, that was next to this Ir HaMelucha. And I also conquered the Ir HaMoyim. Now, Ir Hamayim, all the Mefarshim say, the Ir Hamayim, this is the city of water, is the same city as the Ir HaMelucha that we referred to in the previous pasuk. And the reason was because the water source was in the king's city. So the king had his palace, and that's where the water source was. They used to provide water to the neighboring cities. Pasuk Chav Ches, Ve'ata Esof Es Yeser Ha'am V'Chaneyal Ha'ir V'Lachda. And now, Yoav tells David, why don't you gather the rest of the nation, meaning the rest of the soldiers, camp out against this city, right? The city of Rabbah, the city of Rabbah that he hadn't yet conquered, right? He says, Nilchamti b'Rabbah in the previous pasuk, but he hadn't yet conquered Rabbah. He conquered the Ir HaMayim, which was the Ir HaMelucha. But he says, I want you, David, to come and to conquer, to camp across from Rabbah and conquer it. Why? Pen Elko Daniya Sa'ir Vinikra Shmi Aleha. This was a moment of humility for Yoav. Yoav said, if I conquer it, so then everyone's going to say, Yoav defeated Ammon. I don't want them to say that. I want them to say, David defeated Ammon. Right? So I want you to come. I set up the stage here. I conquer the Ir HaMelucha. Now the Mefarshim also point out, the Malvin points out, that if the Ir HaMelucha was also the Ir HaMayim, and that was the water source, so if you then besiege Rabbah, you cut off their water source, you have them. That's it. You don't even have to fight. That's why the Pasuk says the Malbim Vachane Al Ha'ir. You don't even have to fight. Just camp, you know, just place a siege around the city and they're done. They have no water, right? They have no water. They're going to surrender. So this was a moment of humility that Yoav wanted David to be known as the one who conquered Ammon. And Yoav says, I'm just your servant. I'm doing your bidding. But at the end of the day, I want this to be known as David's victor. Pasuk Chav Tes, Vayesov David es kol ha'am, Vayelech Rabasa, Vayilachem ba, Vayilkida. So David gathers the entire nation, and he goes to the city Rabbah, and he fights, and he conquers. And the Malbim says, it wasn't really necessary for him to fight, as Yoav instructed him, just lay siege, you don't really have to fight. David went ahead and he fought anyway, because he wanted the victory to be attributed to him. Pasuk Lamed, Vayikach es ateres malkom me'al rosho u'mishkalo kikar zahav. So he took the crown of their king from his head. Now Pashup Shad is that this is referring to the king of Ammon had a crown, and David defeated the city, and he removed the crown from the head of the king of Ammon. U'mishkalo kikar zahav, and it was a very heavy crown. It was very valuable. The Evan Yikara, and there was a precious stone in the crown. Atihiyah Rosh David, and David placed it upon his head. Ushlal ho'ir ho'tzi harbe me'od, and he took many, many spoils from this city. So it's interesting, some of the Mefarshim point out here that a kikar zahav is a very heavy weight. So they say it's kind of strange. David wouldn't be able to wear such a crown. It's too heavy. He wouldn't be able to wear it. So some say he only wore it for a few minutes here and there. He didn't really wear it regularly. Some say he suspended it above his head. You know, he kind of hung it above his throne, but not that he actually wore it. And Rashi also brings a medrash that Malcolm is not referring to the king of Ammon, but is referring to their Avodah Zarah. And this was their Avodah Zarah. This was the crown of the Avodah Zarah. Then the question is, how can you benefit from Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is Asa Bahana. Then you have to say that he was Mevatel, and they were Mevatel the Isra Hana from the Avodah Zarah, whatever it is. Okay, but that's different interpretations of how that that refers to and how that works. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the final Pasuk. Yes, Ha'amah Sherba Hotzi. David takes out the people, the residents of these cities. Vayosem, and again, these were people, the Ammonites were evil people. They had terrorized the Jews for many years. Vayosem Bamegera. So David punishes these people. He essentially, it sounds like he tortures them. He brings them out and he uses saws against them. Bacharitze habarzel uvmagzeros, and the axes and iron threshers, all sorts of very gruesome sounding torture methods for these people who had done so much evil to Bnei Yisrael. Behavior osam b'malbein. And he kind of dragged them through the streets. He didn't only do this to Rabbah, but he did this to all of the cities of Ammon. Vayoshov David v'chol ha'am Yerushalayim. And then after they were victorious, they went back to Yerushalayim. It sounds very gruesome here at the end, but again, keep in mind these were people that had done a lot of evil to Bnei Yisrael, and David wanted to send a very strong message to whatever goyim were still around that, you know, this is not going to happen, not under my watch. You know, the day, you know, as some say, the day that the Jews are led to slaughter is over. You know, it's not happening anymore under my watch. And David wanted to send that message in a very strong way to the goyim that were left, and that's what he did with the Bnei Amon. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Thank you very much for joining, and Amir Tzah Hashem, we will continue.